Hi everyone. In the spirit of creating new content for the Breast Cancer Month, one of the topics that I really want to pay a lot of attention, give a lot of attention to, is the syndrome of the healthiest sick person. I did borrow that term from one of my very good friends, Isabella Wentz, who I remember did a survey with her audience and realized that a lot of people, in spite of living a really healthy life, are having a lot of issues. And in her case, it was autoimmune diseases. But when I remember reading that and thinking, oh my God, I can completely relate to this because that's my story. And I know a lot of the women in this community are the same. And I suspect many of you who are listening to this will say, I hear you because I'm that really healthy person. And yet I've got maybe an autoimmune disease, maybe I've got hormonal problems going on. And so the guest today is Dr. Véronique Desaulnières. Also who goes by Dr. V, and I've heard of her work before, obviously. I think many people have in the integrative world. And so really things kind of came to life when I got her book called Heal Breast Cancer Naturally. Fabulous book. It reads like a manual. Like you don't really have to get a lot of other things to really understand what to do with once you're being diagnosed. So if you want to talk about prevention, I invited her today. She's here with us today. I'm going to talk to her, and really the focus on the interview, is I would like to steer it towards why is it that a lot of us are really taking care of ourselves really well, and yet we can have, we could be diagnosed or we could be having problems with challenges with our breast, but also the topic of what can we do to prevent it even further. Welcome, Dr. V.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I really appreciate you sharing my message of hope with your audience. Thank you.
So your story is very personal. I mean, we talk about the healthiest sick person. This is not just a theoretical or, you know, thing that we know about that's happening out there, but it's your story as well. And I would love to open up with that.
Very good. Well, I was Dr. V. I was super mom, super woman, taking care of patients. I had basically discovered evidence-based natural medicine and energy medicine in 1983, after my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he was given 6 weeks to live, and he bought into the death sentence, and he was dead in 6 weeks. So as I did a lot of research to try to overcome that gnawing pain and that emptiness that I had, I discovered the world of energy medicine and evidence-based herbs and the process of eating well. So I started applying these principles into my practice. So I started seeing results with autoimmune diseases and cancer and rheumatoid arthritis, MS. I mean, people were coming in a wheelchair, walking, 6 months later. Fast forward, my 25th year of practice, I'm getting ready for work, I jump in the shower, and boom, I felt that lump. And I knew right away it was not a benign cyst. It was just my gut. So after realizing what I was dealing with, there was no doubt in my mind what I was going to do. But as I was going through my journey, it was very interesting to me because I kept asking myself the question, how can somebody like me develop cancer? Because I ate organic before organic was in style. I had home births, breastfed my children. I was under chiropractic care. I exercised, I took herbs, did everything right. So I thought, but then here I was facing the diagnosis of cancer. And so that was a really big wake up call that led me, down the rabbit hole of more research and soul searching questions as to why this would happen to somebody like me.
Well, and so obviously the next natural question is let's talk about that, because I feel like I don't want to spend time on talking about why we should be eating organic. Why should we take care of our gut? I think those are the things I keep rambling on about this, for the past, ever since I've set up this practice, which is 8 years ago, right? And in case somebody is listening to this new, the health of the gut, health of the liver, stabilizing your sugar levels are the three pillars that really support good hormonal health. And I think by now most of the listeners know that most breast cancers are estrogenic cancers. And so it is completely preventable, is very manageable. There is a genetic component, which is also a very, it's a small percentage of cancers that come from there. So I don't want to talk about those things. Let's leave that out because that's a given. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the things that you feel in your own life and experience you would have had done differently if you could rewind the time. And what do you see with women who are call themselves healthy that they are doing that actually is that could be missing in their protocols?
Well, there are a lot of women that are diagnosed are surprised, and more we're seeing that healthy sick person syndrome, because they're just looking for symptomatic issues, but it comes years before that. So I've discovered that a big component of breast cancer is often iodine deficiency. Mm. Iodine deficiency, of course, as you know, is going to affect the thyroid. Thyroid is going to lower your metabolic rate. If they're deficient in iodine, they often have very high levels of bromide, which bromide is a halide. It's a flame retardant, and they put it in certain foods as well, and it competes with iodine in the body, so it kicks the iodine out. So the breast tissue and the thyroid compete for iodine. So that was one of the big things that I've discovered. The other thing was the dental issue. Although I'd had all my amalgams and everything removed, I had a cavitation that sat right on the left breast. Well, that was news to me. I didn't know about cavitations. Cavitation is basically when you've had a tooth extracted and the periodontal ligaments haven't been cleaned out properly. It heals over, but there's infection, and that can cause infection in the bone. And if it sits on that meridian, it can affect the breast.
Did you know that there was an infection?
Well, I discovered that when I was getting a dental exam, and the dentist I was seeing had no idea. You know, why would you have an infection? He just thought it was periodontal. But after I did more, you know, research and everything, I discovered the term cavitation. And so I had it, you know, treated appropriately. And, you know, so that was a big issue. Another big issue for me was I was very sensitive to EMFs. You know, women don't realize that electromagnetic frequencies from our cell phones, from our computers, from the Wi-Fis in our homes, or when we go outside in the cell towers, all those EMFs are not only causing DNA damage and affecting our immune system, but they're also affecting our hormones. You know, when you hold that cell phone to your head, it's not only affecting the melatonin production, but also your thyroid and also the breast tissue. So women, do not place your phone in your bra. I've seen women with tumors in the shape of their cell phone. It's crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a picture of that. It's really scary.
Well, can I ask you, do you have Wi-Fi at home?
I do have Wi-Fi at home. However, when I work during the day, I hardwire, and we turn it off at night. So it's there as a convenience. My husband also works from home. So, but I try to hardwire and turn it off at night.
Okay.
Yeah. And so make sure that you're protected. You know, there's all kinds of great patented technology out there that you can place on your computers, on your cell phone. You know, there's bioenergetic pendants to protect your energy field, but that's key. And especially for sleep, make sure that you don't have any electronics in your bedroom. You don't have a cell phone by your pillow, because that's going to affect your melatonin production. Melatonin is a cytotoxic hormone that kills breast cancer cells. So we want to make sure melatonin is up. And then lastly, I would say the biggest piece for me was, essential number four is to heal your emotional wounds. Like most successful, busy, you know, healthcare professionals or business women, I was a very good stuffer, right? Just keep going. If something bothers you, just stuff it. Don't deal with it. Swallow your emotions, swallow your feelings. But I discovered doing some very deep emotional work that I had been sexually abused as a child from the age of 3 to 5. And nobody in my family ever talked about it till it was one of those memories, you know, that came back. And I asked my family about it, and they were shocked that I could remember, you know, from the age of 3 to 5. So there was that part of it. You know, I had to learn to self-nurture and self-love and forgive myself and forgive others. You know, the emotional component is such a huge issue. When I host my Healing Diva retreats, we go through the 7 essentials, but we spend a lot of time on the emotional component, because if you don't have a happy heart, and if you are not taking time to self-nurture and self-love, your body is not going to heal. It just shuts off the potential.
How much resistance do you get around that emotional healing component?
A lot, because women get a physical protocol. You know, they can change their diet, do their enemas, take the supplements, do the exercise, you know, all those things. But when it comes to stopping and taking care of themselves and, you know, winding down, slowing down the sympathetics, increasing the parasympathetics through meditation and breathing and EFT and all those things, it's hard because as caregivers, we're not used to taking care of ourselves, right? We're always taking care of everybody else. So we do a lot of work on that with the women that we coach.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me of, I used to live in New York, which was a really tough place to work with women in terms of, it's like the profile you described of the women on the go, very career focused, very successful, sometimes obsessed with, you know, eating organic. And so, you know, I remember I had some, there was this one woman I met and she brought a whole bunch of her friends and they were literally flying in. Doing like off season months, they would be flying in organic papayas from Mexico. And it was just, you know, nonsensical. I mean, it was just disturbingly obsessive about organics. Yet they were some of the unhappiest women I had ever worked with. And, you know, with absent husbands, because they were in a world of finance, they were working 14-hour days. They were not happy marriages. And these women were some of the most miserable women I had ever met. And they had all their supplements dialed down. They've worked with the most expensive physicians in the country, you know. So I totally hear you. And I have to tell you that having read your book, and I read it just over the weekend, I went on a trail here in Montana. I'm in Colorado. Why did I say what? Here in Colorado, and we have beautiful trails. Went on a hike and just literally in 3 hours, I read through your book. And one of the things that, you know, it was artist for me as well is the emotional component, I have to say. And for example, the fact that I have a very poor relationship with my mother and I never really wanted to proactively address it. And then of course, you know, that weekend I meet a friend of mine and she says, you know, we're giving a parent for a reason. And whatever is the issue with your parent, it's for you to work on that very block that you have around your parent. And my way of dealing with is avoidance. And so not talking to my mother for sometimes years at a time. And so having read that part of the book, you know, intuitively, I'm somehow, I don't know why, but I'm incredibly drawn towards the topic of breast cancer, even though I never had it. I've only had lumps and I never forget that fear of having, when you find it. And so, you know, it's been, thank you for the book because it really, that chapter really has pushed me towards considering how do I reestablish a relationship with my mother and what's the work that I need to do around myself to accept all the stuff that, you know, there is between us. And so thank you for that. That iodine, by the way, I just want to mention, switching gears a little bit to the logical side of things and the heart stuff. You know, one of the things that I always find interesting is there is a smoothie that I will pull it up. I'll put a link to the bottom of this video. There is a smoothie that I have, which is a spirulina smoothie. And spirulina is high in iodine as well. And I've had women in the past saying, I'm completely addicted to that smoothie. And it's really interesting because whenever you crave, a lot of times when you crave salty foods, when you crave seaweedy stuff, right, you crave these things like spirulina, it's actually your body's way of telling you that iodine could be an issue here.
Absolutely. And there's a very simple test that women can do. It's called an iodine loading test, where they take an iodine supplement in the morning, they collect their urine for 24 hours, and we see how much iodine is being excreted in the urine, and that'll give us an idea. If there's a lot of iodine in the urine, then they may not be absorbing it, or they may be okay. If there's very little, then their body's really soaking it up. So that's an important test to do.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. So let's talk about the genetic component versus that element of how many cancers, breast cancers, in our case here, are due to hormonal imbalances, lifestyle choices.
Well, interestingly, from a genetic point of view, only 5% of cancers are genetic based. The others are all environmental, nutritional deficiencies, etc. And of course, we all know the big gene that everybody talks about when it comes to breast cancer, that's the BRCA gene. Well, what most women don't realize is that the BRCA gene is actually a tumor suppressive gene. And it's only in familial breast cancer, it only accounts for about 2% of breast cancer. So it's very, very minimal. But then you have to ask yourself, why does the BRCA gene mutate? We know with epigenetics that your genes can be turned off and on. Well, one theory that I have is the constant radiation that women get to their breasts every 6 months or every year, or sometimes more often, can that be a causative factor in mutating that BRCA gene? The good news is that science has shown us that you can actually reverse a BRCA gene mutation. There was a study done in the Journal of Clinical Oncology or something like that, forget exactly the study, where they looked at BRCA genes, and with the use of the equivalent of 1 cup of organic non-GMO soy protein, that actually reversed the BRCA gene mutation.
Wow.
So it shows you the power of food. And we know historically, Asian cultures have a lower incidence of breast cancer if they eat the traditional diet, because of all the fermented soys and the seaweed that they have in their diet tends to protect the breast cancers.
Can we talk about the soy part? Because that can be very controversial, right? We don't want women to be running off and be replacing their whatever is it they're drinking with soy milk. Can we just qualify here a little bit? What is soy protein, what form, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. You don't necessarily want to go out and be drinking soy milk. However, when you look at soy, non-GMO organic soy, the bean itself, like the edamame, that has very many healthful properties. Fermented soy, like tempeh, has also shown to be very beneficial. Miso has a lot of beneficial properties. Mm. Yes, there is a lot of controversy. However, the research that I've done and the studies that I've seen, if you look at soy as a food, not as a superfood where it's soy nuts and soy milk and soy this and soy that, but it's something that you incorporate in your diet, not necessarily every day, but it could be a staple in your diet.
Yeah. And there's on the same note, there are studies that show how incredibly potent broccoli sprouts can be, and comparing that to tamoxifen, which I find absolutely fascinating. And they were just doing studies on half a cup of broccoli sprouts and the content of sulforaphane that can help shrink breast cancers as compared to tamoxifen. And so I find it just absolutely fascinating. Can we talk a little bit about, I kind of want to cover two things. One is the preventive side of things, and then for women who have been diagnosed, who are on, there's quite a large community of women who are on tamoxifen. One of the questions that I'm getting is, hey, Magdalena, I'm on tamoxifen with a lot of side effects, right? How do I get myself, how do I wean myself of it? What can I do nutritionally? So I never advise anyone to wean themselves of it, because I'm not a medical practitioner, and I think that's something you need to talk to, preferably an integrative oncologist. But can we just maybe mention a little bit, what's your take on, like, if you do meet somebody like that, what would be your advice?
Okay, so that's a loaded question. So let's start with the broccoli sprouts, and we'll do the tamoxifen after. So broccoli sprouts, one of my favorite foods, superfoods, because of the content of the sulforaphane. And interestingly, how do we know that when we eat broccoli sprouts, it actually ends up in the breast tissue? Well, there was a study that was done on women that were getting reductions, breast reductions. They gave them broccoli juice before they had the surgery, waited so many hours, and studied the tissue afterwards, and they found that there was high concentrations of sulforaphane in the breast tissue. Mm. So we know that it does go there. Secondly, there were other studies done that were done on ER positive and ER negative breast cancer cell lines, and they found that the equivalent of 1 1/4 cups of broccoli literally destroyed all the cancer cells. So we know that sulforaphane has so many protective aspects, you know, protecting the DNA and stimulating our natural killer cell activity, but it literally has an apoptic effect. It kills those cancer cells. So that's extremely powerful. Next question about the tamoxifen. Now, that kind of takes us down the road of, do our hormones cause cancer? We know that traditional medicine has created that fear in women that your hormones are causing cancer, it's driving the cancer, you have to take these drugs to suppress the hormones. Well, in reality, your hormones are not causing cancer. If that were the case, every 20-year-old on the planet would be laden with cancer. What we're looking at is all the xenoestrogens and the xenochemicals and chemical hormones in the environment that we're getting that's driving the estrogen issue. So the tamoxifen, to be able to, you know, again, we're not oncologists, we're not doctors. If it were me, I would do things to support that estrogen metabolism, which, let me sidetrack here. There's something in your body called methylation, and a lot of women with, well, most women with breast cancer have an issue with methylation or the ability to break down certain substances and to break down the estrogens into healthy estrogen metabolites. When they don't break them down, the aggressive ones do continue to circulate. So in order to support that process, then you would do things like 5 teaspoons of ground flaxseed every day. Broccoli sprouts, supplementation with specific things that support that methylation pathway. And fermented foods are also very beneficial. Supporting the liver is beneficial. Supplementation with indole-3-carbinol or an extract of broccoli and cruciferous vegetables. So that's how I would address it.
Awesome. And you talked about... So going back to my question, so what you're saying is that if when somebody is on tamoxifen, it's really about supporting the body and the methylation pathway going that through that process. And if somebody wants to talk to their doctor about weaning themselves of it, then that's a separate discussion. I guess that will be outside of this, because that's one of the questions that I got from the community, was to ask you that question. So when you talked about methylation, what about women with MTHFR?
Yes, so that's come to light, and it's very important. I just happened to discover it myself because I did a blood test, and I had a homocysteine level that was off the charts. I mean, stroke, ready to have a stroke. I mean, I was shocked because I've, again, healthy sick woman syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So when I dug deep and figured out what homocysteine was, it's a byproduct of poor methylation. So MTHFR actually prevents your body from methylating properly. And there's several aspects of it. Some of it keep you from detoxifying herbicides and pesticides and environmental chemicals and heavy metals. Your liver just cannot process that. Another aspect of that prevents you from methylating or breaking down your estrogens properly. So it's a serious issue that needs to be addressed. And traditional medicine does not look at that, which is so bizarre to me because it's such an important part of dealing with breast cancer. And so, and to let your audience know too, you know, how do you know if you're a poor methylator or not, or how do you know if you have an MTHFR issue? While there are DNA tests, and there's also a urine test that you can do called an essential estrogens that examines, you know, how you're breaking down your estrogen. So it's an important piece of the puzzle because, you have to realize your hormones don't cause cancer. You have estrogen receptor sites on every single aspect of every cell of your body, your bones, your brain, your urinary tract, you know, all those things. And so you need your hormones for health and for your immunity.
Right. And this brings us to the point, you know, I can't tell you how many emails I'm sure we are both getting every day with the whole fear of estrogen and estrogenic foods, saying, gosh, you know, you are promoting eating flaxseed, which is a phytoestrogen. This is going to give me breast cancer, right? Can we talk a little bit? Can you just give us your point of view on this?
Absolutely.
As a doctor.
Yes. It's food. You know, food has been around for eons and it serves as a protection. Legumes have phytoestrogens. Green beans have phytoestrogens. Flaxseed. I mean, these things are designed to have a beneficial effect and they protect the more aggressive estrogen receptor sites. They help to balance out the circulating estrogens. I mean, the studies are there that show us. A study done at the University of Toronto where they fed women a muffin 30 days before they were getting ready to have surgery. They took their markers and the size of the tumor before and after. And the muffin was probably made with flour, you know, white flour and sugar, but 5 teaspoons of ground flaxseed. After 30 days, they saw anywhere from a 30 to a 73% reduction in tumor markers and tumor size just in 30 days. So again, you know, food is not your enemy. Food is designed to heal your body.
Yeah. So, you know, we can talk for, I mean, this is just as you talk about every single sentence that comes out of your mouth, like I can think of 3 questions in every one of them, and I'm sure and our audience will be the same way. So I just want to point to a couple of resources because there's only so long we can go on in an interview like this. And there's only, I think, so much anyone can absorb at the same time. So I want to point out to a couple of resources. Dr. V, apart from the book that I talked about, right, which is right here, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, and it's available on Amazon. By the way, you are a bestseller on Amazon as a book and an author, right?
Yes, and I think it was like in 5 different categories when it first came out. I was just thrilled.
I'm so not surprised. And also, you've got a couple of websites. I'm going to post them on just below the video, breastcancerconqueror.com, and then you also got healbreastcancernaturally.org, those two. And so one of the things that you offer is the 7 Essentials Step-by-Step Coaching Program. And when I looked at it, it's interesting because there are so many really interesting steps that you cover in there. Can you just walk us through it just very briefly? What are those 7 steps?
Yes, the 7 Essentials. Basically, when I went through my healing journey, it was complicated for me, and I had been in practice for 25 years. So I wanted to be able to simplify it. You know, what could the average person who doesn't want to spend a lot of time doing research, you know, what steps could they use to heal their body? And it doesn't have to be breast cancer. It could be any dis-ease in their body. So essential number one is let food be your medicine. We got that. We don't need to talk about that. Essential number two is to reduce your toxic exposure. Mm-hmm. Essential number three is to balance your body energetically with sleep, your hormones, proper exercise, chiropractic, acupuncture. Essential number 4 is the emotions. Number 5 is biological dentistry. Get those metals out of your mouth because the mercury in your mouth is estrogenic. It's a metalloestrogen. Wow. People don't realize that. And then number 6 is the therapeutic plants and herbs, you know, evidence-based natural medicine. And number 7 is very early detection. And, you know, I'd like to take a moment just to touch on that. There's a couple of points here. By the time you see a lump on a mammogram, it's been there for 5 to 8 years, according to the American Cancer Society. So what if you could detect an issue with the development of cancer when it's the size of a pinhead? Mm. Well, fortunately, there's technology that exists now. Thermography is one thing. It cannot diagnose cancer, but it will show you if there's extra heat or if there's inflammation in the breast tissue. There's also blood work that can determine, because cancer cells give off specific proteins and specific enzymes that we can measure. And if they're present, then we can figure out even what kind of cancer you have. There's a test called the Oncoblot test that can determine 27 different types of cancers just with one test.
How do we order that test?
You can go on our website, breastcancerconqueror.com, and just go to shop and just look, you know, just put in the search bar Oncoblot. And you order the test, the kit goes to your home, you go to a lab, have the blood drawn, send it to the other lab, and then we get the results, and then we review the results with you.
Gotcha.
And it's an amazing, amazing test. And then there's also another test that I like to use. It's called the GREASE test, because lab test also, goes to the country of Greece, and they filter the blood and they count the number of circulating tumor cells in your blood. Now, and they look at the stem cell markers. Now, this is where traditional medicine again does such a huge disservice to women, because if they cut off the breast or they cut out the tumor, they do a PET scan, they don't see anything. And they send them on their merry way and say, you're cancer free or you're in remission. Well, that's such a disservice, because that's a lie, because they still have circulating tumor cells and they still have stem cells that could be regenerating, creating more cancer in other places of the body. And so the beauty of this test with the RGCC labs is that you can determine the number of circulating tumor cells that you have and the stem cell markers, and then they grow these cancer cells in the lab and they test over 50 different natural substances and or chemotherapy agents, if you want, to see what is most effective against your cancer cell lines, because everybody is so different. Mm. So we can't just say, well, these things work for everybody. No, we want to get tested to see exactly what affects your gene makeup and your particular cancer cells. So,
and this is how do we order that test?
Same thing. You just go to our website and you'll have to talk to one of my assistants to order that one, because it's a little bit more complicated than just a click button, but it's available through our website.
Okay. And then there is also, thank you for sharing. Those are all preventative stuff that we can do. And I really want to drive a point across that you don't have to have a mom and a sister and an aunt who have had breast cancer, because these things can happen to any woman today. And it's not genetic anymore. It's not it's not hereditary. Women who do not have family history now are diagnosed with breast cancers. And so really just doing these kind of preventative things is going to save you a lot of problems further down the road. If I just listening to you talk about it, I don't have like prominent history of breast cancers in my family. I have an aunt who passed away from it. Very healthy woman. That's another interesting thing. And my sister has a history of cancer, not breast though, but I am definitely going to be looking into that right after talking to you, because I feel like it's something that on the lab level I've never done before, and it's a really good investment to look into this. And then one more thing I want to mention, which is you've got this really fascinating workshop about myths, right, of busting cancer myths. And that's a webinar which regularly costs $37, and you're making that available as a free gift for my audience. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I'm so excited about that. It's something that I like to talk about. You know, we've touched on a few of those things, but it's busting breast cancer myths, and it looks at, you know, the whole issue with the estrogens and your hormones cause cancer. We talk about the BRCA gene. We basically go through the 7 essentials and give women confidence, because that's what this is all about. It's empowering women to understand how their body works and what they can do to prevent breast cancer, or what they can do to heal their body. And just so that your audience is clear, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a chiropractor by profession. I'm not against traditional medicine. You know, traditional medicine has its place. And if some women choose to do traditional medicine, chemotherapy, whatever it is, I'm here to support them so that whatever they're going through, we can support them nutritionally. We can teach them ways to overcome some of the side effects so that they can get through on the other side. You know, it's all about what's the best outcome. And for some women, if their confidence is in their oncologist, then more power to them. If it's not, then, you know, that's why we're here too.
Yeah, and I think it's important to recognize, and thank you for mentioning this. This is like, well, let me ask you this question. Angelina Jolie's decision of having a double mastectomy, what's your take on that?
I feel sorry for her. You know, she saw her mother die a horrible death from, I believe it was ovarian cancer, you know, did the traditional chemo. I mean, it's torturous. And of course, there was a lot of fear. She did not make an informed decision, but I'm not here to judge her. That was her path. But unfortunately, just because you have BRCA gene and you cut off your breasts and you take out your ovaries does not mean that you're not going to have cancer. You know, it's, and again, you know, the BRCA gene is a tumor suppressive gene. And if it mutated, then, you know, let's figure out what we can do epigenetically, nutritionally, to turn that gene back on and support that pathway.
And I think that's the interesting thing is, depending on who you talk to, you know, people have different takes on it, right? And so I think if it's somebody is BRCA positive here, I would really recommend to just do your research, do the homework, and make the decision that really makes you comfortable and stick with that. You know, because that's just something that it is so subjective. I talked to somebody else, you know, that person had an opinion that because his wife has lost all her aunts and sisters in a family to all the BRCA related cancers. And so that was her path as well. And he put her on that path. You know, but again, there wasn't a discussion about nutrition or sleep or melatonin or, and so that was a decision that I made, and she's doing well. And so I think it's really important to make that decision, just in a very informed, empowering way, just the same way you teach, just about empowering women and giving them information, because you're shifting them from a place of fear to a place of confidence and hope for the best. One more other thing I want to just mention, because just past month in September, you know, after summer, one of the big things that happens over summer, we go on sugar binges, right? And, you know, with the kids, with families, we travel, we go, I'm just going to give myself a break. It's that wine, it's the cocktails, it's the ice cream, it's the fruit, all of that combined. And so a lot of women get into the whole thing of being on the sugar roller coaster, right? So September, we dedicated the whole month to battling candida, yeast overgrowth, did a lot of education on that, created a lot of recipes that are sugar-free, even for snacks and desserts. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about what do you see in your practice and the connection between candida and breast cancer. And I ask this because I feel like about 80% of women have issues with candida some way or another. And I'm not going to talk about symptoms and stuff. If you are listening to this for the first time and you don't know what I'm talking about, what is that? We have a two-part article. The first part talks about symptoms of candida, how you can test it very easily at home and or in a lab. And then part two is about how do you battle that nutritionally and through supplements. So let's take on to part three, and that's the connection to cancer. What do you, if there is any, what do you see?
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I like to teach women is that with the growth of cancer, there are always cofactors. There are co-pathogens, and some of them can be viral, like Epstein-Barr, CMV, herpes, you know, you name it. And another cofactor are parasites. Another cofactor is yeast. Mm-hmm. And I would say, because one of the tests that we do when they sign up for coaching is a parasite test, and we check for yeast and pathogenic bacteria, healthy bacteria in the gut and that sort of thing. And I would say 90% of the time we find lots of yeast in the gut and not enough of the healthy bacteria, even if they've been on probiotics for years. You know, that's where the fermented food comes in, which is so important to add to their diet. So there's definitely a correlation, because it's what happens is that your immune system is so busy trying to deal with all these other pathogens that it's tired when it comes to the cancer cells. I mean, that's oversimplification, but it's definitely an important role.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a simplification, but I don't think it's an oversimplification. It still carries a message. And, you know, on that note, just to share with you, like, for instance, I had a horrendous case of candida I couldn't beat. No matter what supplements I was doing, I was not even, I mean, I was off grains. I wasn't touching any fruits, barely any root vegetables in my diet. And yet I had the worst case of candida. And it would turn out to be was that I had a parasite that was completely not symptomatic. Picked it up through a real detailed test. I did a doctor's data. I like that test. I think it's more detailed than a lot of those stuff they do in hospitals. And we found a parasite, got rid of it. 3 days after I finished the treatment for the parasite, the candida was gone. Wow. And so it's the immune system was so busy probably fighting that parasite it was debilitated to a point where it couldn't take care of innately to fight off the candida. And so it's really quite fascinating when you, it's just really about rebalancing the body, isn't it? And, you know, and the best part of all is like everything you're talking about, this is not just about breast cancer. It really is just about rebalancing your body and preventing your whole family from have disease further down the road, even your husband. I mean, estrogenic cancers in women are on the rise as well. Breasts in men as well as prostate, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So the whole family is going to benefit from that.
Yeah, it's the same issues. It's the same issue. And that's what, you know, the Seven Essentials basically does. It brings your body back to balance. And when you follow the steps, you really never have to fear dis-ease again or any other type of cancer.
So talking about your the coaching program, is that something that you do live or is this an automated program? Like, do people have access to you? Tell us about how it works.
Well, I used to do the coaching myself. However, I had to draw a line and a boundary because there was just so much that I could do. So now I have two nurses, and one of them, interestingly, worked in the National Institute of Health in the Research Oncology Department. So she has, you know, and she just couldn't give chemotherapy anymore. So she really gets it. So I have two certified coaches. I've certified them in my Seven Essentials program. And basically you work through them. I still review all the results of the tests and, you know, before they go out to them. So we have any type of coaching that you want. If you want to just talk to somebody for an hour, or we have 6 month, we have year long program, whatever kind of support. And we found, and statistically we know, that women that have a support have a much higher survival rate than those who just try to figure it out on their own.
Right. Right. Awesome. So you have a whole bunch of resources for us. So starting off with the book, which is the easiest thing to get on Amazon. Secondly, there is a webinar that you have about the Mythbusters and busting the myths on breast cancer. And that's, we're going to post the link down below with, is there like a coupon code or something?
Yes. The code is hormones, H-O-R-M-O-N-S.
Okay, yeah. It's going to be available for 2 weeks after this opens up. And then we have, and you've got the coaching program that is going to be an access to you and your team through that website we're going to be posting down below. So a lot of different interaction points of depending on how deep you want to go. I'm sure the audience right now has a lot of questions as well. So it's, and all these resources are going to be, I mean, the book is just, it's just so, I just feel like you've done the research for all of us. Instead of us going through tons and tons of resources and cutting out whatever is woo-woo, whatever is, you know, I don't know, taking out from somebody a little bit crazy, to just really putting it all together in a book that's well-researched, backed up with evidence. I know you did this one thing with the cream on the breast, and I'll leave it for the readers to read. I know this is a real tough one, even for me to read this. It was like, wow, she is really, really hardcore, but you do what you need to do. So I'm not going to, let's just leave it at that. Let the readers get the book and read about your crazy adventures.
Well, thank you, Magdalena. Yeah, the black salve was an interesting journey. I don't necessarily recommend that for anybody, but it was, you know, part of my healing journey. And, you know, the book is, you know, like you mentioned, it has over 500 published studies in it. So I'm very evidence-based. It's very important for women to know that, like you mentioned, it's not just woo-woo, but it's based on science and studies. And we know, you know, that there are thousands and thousands of published studies out there that have shown the effects of nutrition on our body.
Yeah. Can I pop you one more question before I let you go?
Sure.
Because this is another one that a lot of women ask. And so I would love to have your take on it. And that is, if I have an estrogen receptor positive cancer, do I get off estrogen in the supplemental form? As in a hormone, like whether I'm doing it typically topically, right? So do I get off my estrogen cream?
That's a very good question. Before I would answer that, I would say, first of all, I would run a saliva hormone test to see what your estrogen quotient is. It looks at the three different estrogens to see where you're, you know, how out of balance they are. I never recommend estradiol. The only type of estrogen that I do recommend based on testing results would be estriol. Mm-hmm. Estriol has been shown to have a much more protective effect, and it does not, it's not an aggressive estrogen like estradiol.
Awesome. And the same question for progesterone receptor positive cancers. Do women then get off progesterone?
Again, there's research that has come out recently that has shown that bioidentical hormones such as progesterone actually has a positive effect on estrogen receptor positive and progesterone receptor positive cancers.
Okay. And is that to do with, do you think is that's got to do with, is the progesterone metabolites, the certain metabolites that are the problem and not the ones that come from cream?
Correct. It's the, well, it's the xenohormones that they're getting. That's part of the problem, and their inability to methylate and metabolize hormones properly. But again, you know, every cell in your body has ER and PR receptors, and the progesterone actually helps to turn off the more aggressive estrogen receptor positive sites. So
yeah. Do you run those tests too on hormones on your, through your website?
We do.
You do. Awesome. Okay. You do saliva or urine?
We do both.
Okay. Do you have a preference one over the other?
Well, saliva will show us qualitatively what's happening with the hormones, whereas the urine test is going to show us how the hormones are being broken down and how you're methylating or not.
Right. Awesome. I like using, do you do Dutch for urine?
Dutch?
Yeah. It's a test that just came out recently in the US. DUTCH, like Dutch, like off something from Holland. But it's not from Holland. It's a lab here.
Okay. Yeah. I use Genova Diagnostics. Okay. They have a essential estrogens test.
And that's a urine one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. What are some of your final parting thoughts just for our audience before we end this?
I would say that oftentimes our biggest and deepest pains that we go through in our darkest moments, actually, if we allow them to, can serve as a gift for us because it's not just about healing the lump or the bump. You know, it's about healing your heart. And you know, one of my favorite proverbs is, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. Mm-hmm. And you know, so many of us may be that caterpillar in the cocoon, and it's dark and you're alone and you're scared and you don't know what's coming next. But if you have faith and you have confidence and you apply the laws of nature and the laws of the universe, you know, your body will heal. And, you know, the journey is about learning how to do more things that bring you happiness and joy. It's not just about getting rid of the physical problem, because if you keep doing the things you've always done, guess what? You get the same results. So it's about change and transformation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.